بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم Continuing reading from the kitab concerning our aqaid, our beliefs. The topic we are doing today is concerning major sins. Sins do not destroy a person's iman, but they continuously weaken the luster of iman, making it fragile. It then becomes easy for shaitan to attack a person, and even at times to let him fall into disbelief. Therefore, one should stay away from every sin. If one errs, then he should immediately resort to repentance. There are two types of sins. One, the major sins, and the second type are the minor sins. Tawbah is necessary for the forgiveness of major sins. Tawbah means that a person should feel ashamed of his action, repent, and make a firm intention not to repeat that action. If another person's rights were infringed, then these rights should be fulfilled. If salat, fasting, etc. were left out, they should be made up by qadha. Minor sins are forgiven through the blessings of righteous deeds. A point to understand here is that doesn't mean that those sins which are classified as major, the list of it which we are going to read just now, those things which abstain from, but besides that, the minor sins, we regard them to be trivial and not really important that we don't abstain from there. No, all sins, no matter major or minor, they are a sin. And any sin is a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person has to stay away from there. However, if those sins are classified as minor, then with the barakat of and the blessings of righteous deeds, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will forgive those sins which are classified as minor. The list of the major sins. Some of the major sins are, number one, to reject taqdeer, predestination. Number two, not to fear Allah Ta'ala or to lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Number three, to recite incantations contrary to the Sharia. In other words, such types of words where the meaning of it either is completely contrary to Sharia or which we don't know about. But we are told to recite such things. To recite those are major sins. Number four, to verify what an astrologer or fortune teller says. Number five, to discard any fard or wajib action when one is able. For example, salat, zakah, hajj, fasting, qurbani. Number six, to do acts of worship for show. Number seven, to boast of one's piety or ibadah. Number eight, to be careless with urine drops on one's body or clothes. Number nine, to miss Jumu'ah salat. Number ten, to miss salah with jama'at for males without a valid excuse, and to delay salat until the time goes out. Number 11, to kill someone unjustly. Number 12, to kill one's children. To abort a child after the soul has been placed in it is also included in killing children. Number 13, to commit suicide. Number 14, to cause harm or to disobey one's parents in permissible actions. Number 15, to sever family ties for worldly reasons. Number 16, to commit adultery, fornication, incest, or anal sex. Number 17, to get involved in acts of homosexuality and lesbianism. Number 18, to have relations with one's wife during her menses. Number 19, to have no self-honor over one's spouse. Number 20, to sit in seclusion with ghair mahram women, that is those women with whom the observance of hijab is necessary. Number 21, to appear before one's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, cousins, or any other strangers, etc., without any parda. Number 22, to look with an evil intention at women folk, and even worse, one's neighbor. Number 23, to enter someone's house without permission. Number 24, to fulfill one's carnal desires with animals. Number 25, to expose one's satr. The satr of a man is from the navel to the knee, and the entire body of a female is satr, except her palms, face and feet. When emerging in front of strange women, in front of strange men, a woman's face must be concealed as well. Number 26, to wear such transparent clothing that the color of the skin can be seen, or to wear such tight clothing that the shape of the body can be seen. Number 27, to embrace or shake hands with ghair mahrams, that is, those with whom hijab is necessary, and even family members with lust. Number 28, to adopt the dress of the opposite sex. Number 29, to falsely accuse a woman of adultery. Number 30, to regard the second marriage of a woman as a blemish despite there being a need for it. Number 31, to give false testimony or to conceal evidence. Number 32, to speak lies, especially to take false oaths by which the life, wealth or honor of another is taken. Number 33, to take an oath by the name of anyone other than Allah Ta'ala. Number 34, to institute false proceedings against someone. The list still carries on. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 27th para was recited. Yesterday, in discussing the 26th para, we reached till the end of Surah Al-Fath. We will just continue from there. The next surah after Surah Al-Fath was Surah Al-Hujurat. This surah holds great importance in the sense that there are many guidelines concerning etiquettes which relate to good conduct and good character and morals, and also particularly because there is etiquettes to be observed in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have also been mentioned here in the first ruku of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, addressing the believers, that لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. That one etiquette to be always observed by in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that don't proceed ahead of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The commentators explaining this verse, they say that by not proceeding ahead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means by action as well as by word. By word means that in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't voice your own opinion until you are asked to do so. And also by deed, that don't do actions before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which includes walking in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until or unless Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs someone to walk in front. Or for example, sitting for meals, don't put your hands into the food and start eating before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the etiquettes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, many others are also mentioned, and the ulama explain that these etiquettes, although they have been mentioned for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also apply to those who are the heirs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ulama-i haqq and the mashayikh and the Allah walas, these etiquettes should be observed also in their presence. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that don't raise your voices above that of the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, don't speak loudly in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and don't speak loudly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as you speak loudly to one another. When we speak, we are free when we speak with our contemporaries and friends. Don't speak like that in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The warning given here is by doing this, there is fear that your actions could be rendered null and void by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas you don't even perceive that. Further on, Allah ta'ala says that referring to an incident which occurred, some people of the tribe of Banu Tamim, they came for some work to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in his house, in his quarters. But these people, they came outside the house and they started screaming and calling out to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, the address also was wrong. Ya Muhammad. They addressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way, which is against etiquette and respect. And they started saying, come out to us and attend to our matter. Allah ta'ala reproaches them that those who now call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from outside the rooms. The word hujurat, for which the surah has been called suratul hujurat, means rooms and houses. Those who call you from outside the rooms, most of them, they don't have understanding. They don't realize that this is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not how we behave with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, if they had made a bit of sabr, till Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself came out to attend to them, that would have been better for them. From this we understand, especially those who are involved in the work of deen, that when they are resting, respect their times of privacy and rest, and don't call them to attend to your matters when it is now their resting time, and wait for them to emerge from their houses and then approach them to attend to your matters. Further on, Allah Ta'ala gives us some guidelines concerning some social and communal etiquettes, that if some news reach you, first of all, then verify it. Because many a time the news is in the form of rumors and gossip. Allah Ta'ala says that if you then act on those rumors, then perhaps later on you might be regretful of what you had did. So first of all, make sure that you verify the information. And especially nowadays, where information is so freely and quickly at one's disposal, and most of the time there is no real truth. Or if it is some truth in there, but it is contaminated with all falsehood and lies. So we should verify all information which comes to us before acting on that information. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us some guidelines concerning those people from the mu'mineen who are disputing with one another. How to reconcile the two, what were the guidelines in this respect have been mentioned here, and the underlying reason Allah Ta'ala gives, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that all the mu'mineen, believers, are like brothers to one another. And just like how brothers should behave, that if there is dispute and difference of opinion, how reconciliation should take place, and all those guidelines are mentioned here. Further on, from the second ruku onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some injunctions for good social conduct, without which there will be endless problems and disputes in society, and there will be a lot of now fitna coming up around if these guidelines are not adhered to. Amongst them, Allah Ta'ala says, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Don't mock one another. Because by mocking one another, one is that it is because of the condition of pride in a person, where he is regarding himself to be better than the next person and looking down upon the next person. Allah Ta'ala clarifies this, that perhaps those whom you are mocking, they might be better than you. You don't know the internal condition of anybody, and by doing this, they might be better than you, and now you are mocking at them. This is now very bad, and it is something very evil. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, don't find fault in yourselves, which means in others. But the word Allah Ta'ala uses here, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't find fault with others, referring to the fact that the whole Muslim Ummah are like one body, looking for the faults of others, is like trying to is taking out your own faults. And the Muslim is a mirror of the next Muslim. So don't try and look for faults of others. Worry about yourself, that what faults are within you. Because this will inevitably give rise to a lot of problems now, where people now are eager on fault finding, without even now realizing their own faults. The next injunction Allah Ta'ala gives, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't call one another with derogatory names, which are offensive to them. Don't call them by that names. They will get upset, and then it will give rise to problems also. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, abstain from a lot of suspicion. Suspicion in the hadith has been called the worst of lies, because they are not founded on anything firm. They are just now rumors and suspicion, and this will inevitably open the road towards backbiting, towards slandering, and towards many other evils. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and don't spy on one another. And thereafter, don't backbite about one another. These are also such evils which then cause endless problems in society, and that peace and harmony amongst people of society is then eroded. Allah Ta'ala mentions that those that backbite of others, do they like to eat the flesh of their dead brother? As if you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. Who likes that? So this is what is actually backbiting. Allah Ta'ala then informs us that all your differences when it comes to different nationalities and different families, Allah Ta'ala says that this is for the purpose of lita'arafu, so that you can recognize one another. This is not a basis for any type of superiority, that you belong to a certain family or to a certain nationality. In Islam, when it comes to race, nationality, language, color, all these things are not the basis of superiority. Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions after that, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most honored amongst you by Allah Ta'ala is the one who possesses the highest levels of taqwa. This is the criterion for honor and superiority in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Language, color, nationality, etc. is just that people can recognize one another, that he belongs to so and so nation or from so and so tribe. These are not the basis of superiority. The surah then concludes with the message that true iman is that which is firm in the heart. Just verbal, outward expression of iman, that is not what Allah Ta'ala requires. Allah Ta'ala wants that true iman and firm conviction, that is the true iman. Further on, next surah, Allah Ta'ala, surah Qaf, a Makki surah, the fundamentals of deen have been explained, particularly the aqidah of resurrection that is now reviving, Allah Ta'ala bringing back to life all on the day of Qiyamah after they had died in this dunya. That aqidah has been reinforced in many ways in this surah. This surah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite it, very verses from the surah, very often in the khutbahs of Jummah and Eidain. To the extent that some sahaba radiallahu anhum even say that we had memorized the surah just by listening to it so often in the khutbahs of Eid and Jummah. So from this also we understand what great emphasis Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had put onto the message contained in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refutes many of the wrong beliefs of the kuffar and mentions clearly that وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. We have created insan and we are aware of those thoughts also which are in their hearts, and we are closer to man even than his own jugular vein. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of each and every person's complete condition, to the extent that Allah Ta'ala knows us better than what we know ourselves also. And Allah Ta'ala says that whatever you do, whatever you speak, إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, there is an angel who is watchful and is ready to record every deed and word which comes out, emanates from you. So whatever you say and do, it is recorded and it is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then describes some conditions of Jannat and Jahannam. Concerning the people of Jannat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the glad tidings, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, that for the people of Jannah will be what they desire for in Jannat. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and from our side there will be extra also. The commentators explaining the meaning of mazid, which means extra, that will be the greatest and ultimate bounty in Jannah, that is the great bounty of having the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called Didar of Allah Ta'ala. That is the greatest and ultimate bounty of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala granted to all of us. The next surah is Surah Al-Dhariyat, which is a Makki surah also. Here too, the fundamentals of deen have been explained. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the winds with its various attributes, and then Allah Ta'ala declares that Qiyamah is a reality. Retribution and recompensating people for their actions will definitely happen on the day of Qiyamah. Here too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, and then Allah Ta'ala describing the muttaqeen. Who are the muttaqeen? Amongst the many qualities, Allah Ta'ala says, kanu kaleelan min al-layli ma yahja'oon. They sleep little at night, and in the early hours of the morning, hum yastaghfiroon, they are asking for forgiveness. So here the asking of forgiveness of the muttaqeen is not on their sins, but on even on their actions of virtue, where they are standing in tahajjud, but they realize we can't fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the purpose of our creation, but we can't really fulfill it. And for that also, they are asking for forgiveness. They are charitable. They spend from the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them, and they spend on the sa'il and the mahroom. Those who ask, the beggars, and those because of some reasons they don't disclose their needs, but they are really in need, they go and search and look for such people and spend on them also. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that in the earth there is great signs for those who have yaqeen, and also within your own selves. Man, don't forget your own self, how Allah Ta'ala has created you, how Allah Ta'ala had created your organs and your limbs of the body in perfect harmony, and how they are functioning, and they are so fragile also, one little bit of malfunctioning, and what problems a person is faced with. But all this is indicative of the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afala tubsirun, Allah Ta'ala says, don't you see? In other words, reflect and ponder over all this, and you will realize the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the para, and continued in the 27th para, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the incident where the angels in human form, they came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. One reason they came was to give him the glad tidings of the imminent birth of a son, Ishaq alayhi salatu wassalam, despite him already having reached old age. But since they were in human form, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not recognize them initially, and he prepared food for them, but he seen that their hands are not going, stretching out to eat that food. And in those times, not to eat the food of somebody was a sign of great danger and hostility. Ibrahim alayhi salam was overcome with fear, thinking that perhaps these might people have come to harm me. But then they told him, don't fear, we are not human beings, we don't eat, we are angels, and we have come to you to give you glad tidings of the birth of a son, and also we have been sent to destroy an evil nation, the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, who besides not accepting the message of Haq, were involved in many types of vice and evils. We have come to destroy them. The incident is mentioned here. The incident of some of the other nations, Allah Ta'ala also mentions in the first ruku. And in the second ruku, Allah Ta'ala then mentions some of His great creations, and then mentions, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then hasten and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave your disobedience, leave your unmindful conditions, and hasten towards Allah ta'ala, towards His obedience. And then Allah ta'ala then mentions the reason why we have been created, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have been created, we have created man and jinn for the sake of our ibadat. And Mufassirin also explained by ibadat here particularly refers to the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And because true ibadat cannot be done with correct recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why liya'budun has been mentioned here. The next surah, Surah At-Tur, is also a Makki surah. Here also Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of many things. 5 or 6 qasams Allah Ta'ala takes, and then mentions, inna adab rabbika lawaqir, that the punishment of your Rabb will definitely occur. It is imminent, and nobody can repel that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that it must be sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions the conditions of the kuffar, and in contrast the some conditions of the muttaqeen, in what great bounties and bliss they will be in Jannat. One particular quality mentioned concerning these muttaqeen, that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that those who have brought iman and their progeny who follow them in this iman, Allah Ta'ala says, we will join up to them their progeny, in other words, in Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. From this we understand the point is that a person, if he is now, he enters into Jannah and he doesn't see then his family, his wife and children, which he wants to be with him, and he asks and inquires about them, he will be told that their actions were not such that they are eligible for this high rank which you have now acquired. On that he will make dua, and Allah Ta'ala through His mercy will elevate the ranks of His family members and join them up with Him on the day of Qiyamah. Without, Allah Ta'ala says, any of the rewards of these people being decreased in the least bit. From this we understand that a person's righteousness and piety will also benefit his family members on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah. Further on, Allah Ta'ala, in the next ruku after that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that despite all these people calling you names, mocking and jeering at you, you don't bother, you continue with your mission for which you had been sent. Fadakkir, continue reminding the people, فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنِ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ. By the fadl and grace of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you are not a fortune teller as they say you are. You are not majnoon and insane. You are not a poet. And you are not what they are saying, that you have invented and made up the Qur'an and Majeed from your own side. There is nothing like that. Don't bother and you continue with your mission. In this there is great lessons also, that in the face of, in the path of propagating the message of Deen, a person will be confronted with hostile comments and difficult conditions. But a person should persevere and continue doing what he had been, doing what he's supposed to do. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here also Allah ta'ala said, وَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Make sabr, exercise patience, and wait for the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You are under our eyes, in other words, under our protection, and you continue glorifying Allah ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the various times. The next surah is Surah An-Najm, which is a Makki surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam of the stars and then declares the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak from his own whims. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was revelation which was revealed to him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only saw Jibreel alayhi salam twice in his original form. Otherwise, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not in his original form. One was at the time of Mi'raj, in another occasion also in Makkah Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. Indication here also is made of the journey of Mi'raj. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next surah, in the next ruku of the surah, mentions the condition of characteristics and traits of those who, الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى, those who are the righteous people, who do righteous deeds. One particular quality Allah ta'ala mentions here, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ, that they abstain from the major sins and all acts of indecency besides minor sins which they are prone to now get involved in because of their human nature. Here what we should understand, that Allah Ta'ala has described this quality of those who are those people who now are righteous, which means they abstain from major sin. Just as to do good deeds is a great virtue, ibadat, but to abstain from sins itself is an ibadat, which many a time we don't realize how Hazrat Damat Barakatum over and over mentions, make that intention in the morning, I'm not going to look at evil, I'm not going to do this. These are also ibadat in essence. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ittaqi maharim Allah, ittaqi maharim Allah, takun a'bad al-nas, or kama qal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abstain from those things which are forbidden from you, for you, abstain from them, and then you will become the greatest worshipper. A'bad ismi tafdhil, which means that you will become the greatest worshipper. So the main thing is that besides doing which we are responsible to do when it comes to the obligatory things which have been made obligatory and farz upon us, our main concern is that we should stay away from all types of evil and haram. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that it is Allah Ta'ala knows you well when He created you from the earth and when you were still fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. Before you even emerged into this world, Allah Ta'ala knew your entire condition. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't attribute purity and purity to yourselves, because Allah Ta'ala is Allah Ta'ala knows well those amongst you who have the quality of taqwa. So this condition also, that a person attributes purity and regards himself to be very clean and pure, this is also something which is very abhorred and despicable, that a person shouldn't attribute purity to himself. Only Allah Ta'ala knows what is the condition, inner condition of each person. The next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surah Al-Qamar, here also Makki surah, Allah ta'ala mentions the coming close of Qiyamah and the splitting of the moon. One of the miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which even the mushrikeen and people of Makkah at that time witnessed with their eyes, but refused to now regard it to be a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accept his nabuwat. Instead, they regarded it to be a form of sihr, of jadu and black magic. And through that, they did not accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala then mentions the incident of many nations of the past, and at different intervals Nabi sallallahu Allah ta'ala also mentions, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. We have made the Quran Majeed easy for you to take lessons from. Is there anyone who can take a lesson from? Some commentators have even included in the word lidhikri the learning of the Quran Majeed, the memorizing of the Quran Majeed, the miracle of which we witness on a daily basis. Young children, completely non-Arab, don't know a word of Arabic, but with a bit of effort and in a small period of time, we see how easy they memorize the entire Quran Majeed from cover to cover. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the next surah, we come to that surah Ar-Rahman. Here Allah ta'ala enumerates all his great bounties which Allah ta'ala has showered upon mankind and jinnat. And Allah ta'ala 31 times, this verse is repeated, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, that O man and jinn, which of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you reject, will you deny? So this repetition, normally repetition too much, a person doesn't like it. But sometimes repetition over and over adds beauty also to the words of the Quran Majeed. We all know a good qari reading this surah, in how beautiful is the recitation which each and one of us experiences. Allah Ta'ala in various ways, after mentioning his bounties, mentions these words. Till when are you going to continue denying the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The greatest bounty upon man is the bounty of Quran and Majeed. Allah Ta'ala mentions that first, Allam al-Quran, Rahman. Here the sifat of Rahman also has been mentioned, that to indicate that all this is the effect of the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon man. And it is Allah ta'ala who has taught us the Quran Majeed. He has taught us how to speak. This is that distinguishing thing which distinguishes man from the other animal kingdom, that Allah ta'ala has given us the power of speech, where we can express our thoughts in our inner thoughts. We can express it. And in various ways Allah ta'ala mentions all his great creations and his bounties upon man. One point to understand here, that certain ayat here refer to the punishments of Jahannam and the great terrible conditions of the day of Qiyamah and of Jahannam. Somebody could ask, what bounty is there which we are reminded of? The ulama explained that being informed of all this itself is a bounty. If you are traveling anywhere and people tell you, don't take this road, there are now robbers there, there might be some problems there, you will thank that person that you did me a great favor. So from this we can understand that being informed of all this is also the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the day of Qiyamah and the conditions of the day of Qiyamah, how people will be divided into different groups, those who are from the people of the left, referring to the kuffar, disbelievers, then the people of the right, the believers, and from there, a special group who are called the sabiqoon and muqarrabun, those who are the forerunners in doing all the good things, and those who have acquired the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through excelling in the acts of obedience. All their conditions are mentioned here. Allah ta'ala reminds men of the great favors of which Allah ta'ala has blessed man with, particularly those favors which are necessary for man's survival on the earth, referring to the rains, referring to fire itself, referring to the earth and the crops which grow from the earth. And in the next ruku after that, Allah ta'ala mentions the great condition of the Quran Majeed, takes qasam of the Quran Majeed. And Allah ta'ala mentions, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, that this Quran Majeed is such a kitab that no person, unless he is in a state of complete purity, only he can touch it. From this the masla, we are not allowed to touch the Quran Majeed without wudu. However, you can recite the Quran Majeed without wudu. The next surah, Suratul Hadid, a Madani surah, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions initially many of his great attributes, that Allah is the first and the last and the apparent and the hidden. Allah is apparent by recognizing him through his creations. But Allah Ta'ala's that is hidden. We can't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our small minds. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that a person who is afflicted with doubts concerning Allah Ta'ala and with aspects of deen, he should try and recite this verse, هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم, over and over. Inshallah, he will be relieved of those doubts which he will be plagued with. Further on, Allah Ta'ala explains the significance of spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Particularly Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِي. Spend of that which we have made you inheritors of. Which means that the wealth which you have got in your possession was actually by somebody else. But Allah Ta'ala made it come to you. So don't hesitate in spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala calls it, okay, giving a loan to Allah Ta'ala. Spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, as if you are giving Allah Ta'ala a loan. What loan does Allah need? Allah is not in need of anything. The point here is that, just as a loan in the dunya has to be repaid, similarly spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will definitely not allow it to go unnoticed. You will be rewarded, and rewarded manifold. فَيُضَاعِفَهُ. Allah Ta'ala will multiply the reward of spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We are also reminded that it mustn't be that our hearts become hard and unmindful of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the passage of time. Allah Ta'ala says, has the time not drawn close for the people of Iman, that they submit their hearts to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which Allah Ta'ala has revealed of the haqq. This verse was revealed at the time when the Muslims had already made hijrat, and some of the Muslimin now, because now they were settled down nicely in Medina, and the socio-economic condition had also significantly improved, so some of them became a bit negligent when it came to the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala and recitation of the Qur'an Majid. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse and mentioned that don't be like those who were given the kitab before you, and a long period of time passed, but the result, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. Don't become like them. Many incidents have been recorded that those who were involved in all types of evils, but when they were reminded of this verse, suddenly it gave them a jolt, and they came back to their senses, that no, the time is now, till when I'm going to continue in this evil, it is time now that I mend my ways once more. Allah Ta'ala then mentions the fleeting nature of this dunya, that this dunya is just la'ibu wa lahu wa zinatu wa tafakhurun baynakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. It is play, it is amusement, it is adornment, it is boasting amongst one another in rivalry in wealth and children. If a person studies how a person from the time he is born and he grows up, initial stages is play and amusement, and then as he becomes now of age, now it is more worried about his beauty, his hair, his clothes, etc. And then as he even grows more, and now it's time to get married, and now he wants to now set himself up in the dunya, as we say, and now he's now more worried about materialism and boasting with one another whose car is better, whose house is better, and then eventually towards older age, a person now is not talking of rivalry over his contemporaries. I've got one, I've got two, you've got only one. I've got two shops, two cars, two of those, whatever. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the nature of this world. The example of it is like that crop which grows, it is flourishing, but very soon is going to dry up, is going to start turning yellow, and then it will then completely fragmentate and come into bits and pieces. This is the condition of this dunya. We should not be beguiled and deceived by the temporary nature of this dunya. In the last ruku, Allah Ta'ala mentions that these Ahle Kitab, they had ordained over themselves the concept of Rahbaniyat, which is monasticism, where a person forgoes the pleasures and all the luxuries of the dunya, doesn't get married, doesn't wear good clothes, and shuns all type of good food, goes to the forest and etc. Allah Ta'ala says, we didn't prescribe it to them. They imposed it upon themselves, although with a good intention. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. They had the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in mind, but they could not fulfill its rights. With the result that this type of thing, that they did not fulfill its right, and it became a cause for them now not to realize the haqq when it came to them. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that for the Ahle Kitab, if they bring iman on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala says, we will reward them double fold. they had iman on their particular and respective Nabi. But after the haq came to them, they realized it to be the haq and then accepted it. Allah Ta'ala says, we will reward them double fold.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An Nathan radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qal Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi wa ala nabi salatu wa salam, ummat Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, athqalu an-nasi fil mizan. ذلت ألسنتهم بكلمة ثقلت على من كان قبلهم لا إله إلا الله. حضرت ليس رضي الله تعالى عنه سمروا هي حضرت عيسى على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام فرماتے ہیں کہ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت کے اعمال حشر کی ترازو میں اس لیے سب سے زیادہ باری ہے کہ ان کی زبانیں ایک ایسے کلمہ کے ساتھ مانوس ہے جو ان سے پہلی امتوں پر باری تھا, وہ کلمہ لا الہ الا اللہ ہے. حضرت عیسیٰ علیہ نبینا و علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام has said, the deeds of the ummah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be reckoned weightiest on the day of judgment, because their tongues shall be accustomed to the recitation of a kalima which was found too hard by the nations of the previous anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. The kalima is La ilaha illallah. Hazrat Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam had said, the deeds of the ummah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be reckoned weightiest on the day of judgment, because their tongues shall be accustomed to the recitation of a kalima which was found too hard by the nations of previous anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The kalima is La ilaha illallah.